Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you, as usual, from the Hub in Boston, Massachusetts, on this October the 18th, 2020, at 11 p.m., Sunday night. And I want to welcome you all to the show. I hope you're able to stay up and listen and maybe call in. I'll be giving you the numbers and the instructions for calling in a minute. But I hope you've been safe for the past 2 weeks. A lot's been happening, of course, mostly on the election front, which will be coming up in a little more than 2 weeks from tonight. It'll be 2 weeks from Tuesday, November the 3rd. But the past week to 10 days or so, the talk has been about the Supreme Court of the United States nominating Amy Coney Barrett to be a Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court, and that's been being heard by the Judiciary Committee, for as they have the duty to advise and consent on the president's nomination. So we'll be talking about that, but let me give you the call-in number and let you know that the chat room is open. There's nobody in there. Let me check and see if anybody's in there. Nope, no one's in there. I don't get too many visitors, I think because of the late hour, but remember you can always catch this on the archive by going to blogtalkradio.com and typing in Money and Other Things Financial. So the call-in number, if you want to call in, is 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from, or if from outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Believe it or not, we have had calls from other countries. Not too many, but a couple. So anyway, I want to start off as usual with the... did I tell you that the temperature is 50 degrees at air time? It's starting to get that cool weather now. And of course, we would all like to have a not-so-cold winter. We have to deal with whatever we are faced with. Just to make sure you have plenty of food in, and your house is warm, and you have to probably hunker down mostly because of the coronavirus anyway, but you might as well make it as easy as you can on yourself and your family. Anyway, let me give you the latest statistics on the coronavirus, as I do every show now since for the last few months. And they seem to be staying pretty much the same from what I can gather. So the the global figures, the total cases are 40,217,553. Active cases, 9,045,511. The number of deaths globally is 1,117,356. And the recovered, which is a huge figure, about 3 of the 40 million infected, the recovered amount is 30,054,686. So don't get overfraught with fear if you happen to test positive or you consider to be infected. Remember, it looks like 3 out of 4 recover from it. Okay, in the USA, we have 8,380,418 infected. That's up from 7,600,000 plus in the previous 2 weeks. The active case is now 2,704,810. That's up about 150,000. And the deaths, 224,636, and compared to 214,491 2 weeks ago. And the recovered in the U.S. is 5,451,172, and that's up from 4,839,763. Now, a lot of comments I'm hearing is these stats that we're getting. I get it from the Worldometers website. Again, let me give you that website, www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. Or just type in your search engine, coronavirus statistics. So the questions we have is whether these statistics, who's compiling them, how credible are they? Like all the numbers we get in the various sources that we get them from, they have to be looked at with what they say is a jaundiced eye. We need to probably do as much double-checking and cross-checking before we accept them as valid. But we can work with them and but just remember, they may be distorted. I have always questioned statistics, as the famous quote is, there are lies, damnable lies, and then there are statistics. One question I have is with regard to China. First, let me just point out that the leading countries on the total number of cases are, of course, the U.S., has the most at eight plus million. India is second with 7.5 million. And then Brazil, 5.2 million. And then Russia with 1.4 million. Everybody else is under a million. One interesting note I saw is that why is China 53rd in total cases? 53rd country in total cases. They have a total number of cases of 85,685. Now, if you remember, of course, the virus started there, and now they are 53rd in cases. Something needs to be looked into there. Some people might be arguing that they have taken, because of their government control methods, they can clamp down on it much faster. Again, they're always famous for being secretive, so we don't know how valid those numbers are. But since they have the second highest population in the world next to India, or India and China both have over a billion in population, and yet India has 7 million cases and China has around 50,000 cases. Is something, am I missing something there? China has 85,000 and India, with approximately the same population, has 7.5 million. That needs to be looked at. And of course, China is still questions as to the start of the virus in China in the Wuhan area, and whether it was, I think it's pretty well believed by most that it was not an accidental, it wasn't a man-made type of thing. It was developed in the lab. It wasn't just like we get the influenza every year. It's not from a laboratory. It's just like a natural type occurrence in the winter. Now the virus spreads more apparently, but we need to look further into the cause of the virus, whether there's any intentional causes or accidental. But I think most people now believe that it was not just from that happened in the wet market there that they have in that area, but it was generated from that laboratory. And I don't think we have all the information on that story. So anyway, that's the statistics. Just use your common sense, and you know, if you go into a store and they require the mask, then I would suggest that you wear it. That's what I do. But as far as being outdoors and more than quite a distance from other people, I don't have the mask on, especially if the sun is out. And I think you can be hampered by the mask when you're not getting fresh air and sunshine. All right, I want to talk a little about the SCOTUS hearings that finished up this week, I believe on Friday, and we were praying for them every day. A women's group has sent us a prayer approach, and we did one prayer every day from Monday to, I believe, Saturday. So that was something you can do. You can do certain things, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need to just sit there and tremble. You can find out people that make sense and work with them. Send emails to your friends and encourage them to not get overly stressed by this pandemic. You know, realize that there are people dying, mostly among the people in nursing homes and elderly people, which I would fit into that category, but I seem to be the same as I've always been, even before the pandemic. I'm not like I was when I was 30 years old, but I don't see too much of a change due to the pandemic. So Amy Coney Barrett has been nominated by President Trump to fill the vacancy left by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she went through a lot of grilling this past week by the Judiciary Committee. And I didn't see every hearing, but I caught pieces of it, and it seems as though she did very well. Of course, she knows that they tried to get her to say things that would suit their purposes, and I think Senator Feinstein of California was caught on a hot mic after she was cordial to the nominee, but afterwards on the hot mic she made a comment that was not appropriate, and that she pretty well said she believed that her faith will impact her judicial activities. So, I mean, all of us have different things in our life, and they probably all have some effect on how we act, but this is not something that should prevent the justices or the senators from giving her a confirmation approval. But apparently it will be the Judiciary Committee will be deciding soon, and they will then send the their findings to the full Supreme to the full Senate for a vote. I believe she just needs a majority of votes, because the Republicans do have a majority, I believe 53-47. So it would appear that she will be confirmed, and we may know that before Halloween. So what do you think? Did you listen to any of the hearings? And let me know your thoughts. She's a graduate of Notre Dame and Catholic by faith, has a family including two adopted children from Haiti. She has, I think, 7 children, and one is autistic, I believe. So she has a life story, but she certainly made a good appearance from the little that I've seen, and I don't think a fair-minded senator would object. They may complain that the nomination shouldn't have been made before the election, as they have said, trying to relate it to the replacement of Justice Scalia when the Obama appointee was not heard until after the election. But this is the way the political powers are. It just happened to be that the Republican Congress did not decide to hear that case or to have hearings in when Justice Garland was nominated, but they did decide to have them here when Judge Barrett was nominated. Another big story I want to talk about has to do with the election, and of course, as I say, that's coming up in a little over 2 weeks. So the next show will be before the election, and we'll be able to talk more. We'll have more information on that, including the final debate, which is coming up in on Thursday of this week. Thursday, the October 22nd. But the big story that's been just came out has to do with that Hunter Biden's laptop has surfaced with apparently damaging content, and the story I heard is that he had the laptop at a repair shop, and he never came back to get it. And after a certain amount of time, the property becomes that of the repair shop owners, and from there it got into the hands of others, including the GOP lawmakers, who have questions on that laptop content. The New York Post is reporting that more than a dozen GOP members of the House of Representatives have asked the FBI to reveal if the agency was in possession of the laptop that contained emails between Hunter Biden and top officials at a Ukrainian energy company during the impeachment proceedings against President Trump. 19 GOP lawmakers sent a letter to the FBI Thursday arguing that it would have been a gross error in judgment if the agency had the material but withheld it from Trump's legal team. If the FBI was in fact in possession of the evidence and failed to alert the White House to its existence, that would have given even more weight to the president's legal defense, and this would be a gross error in judgment and a severe violation of trust, states the letter, and comes a day after the Post published a report that indicated Hunter Biden introduced his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, to a top executive at the Ukrainian energy firm Burisma. Joe Biden's campaign said there's no record of such a meeting in his schedules. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about that this week. But the Post report stated that the FBI had control of the laptop in December of 2019 during the impeachment proceedings. Why did the New York Post have the information about the laptop and hard drive before the American people? So I think there's more information on that laptop from what some of the stories I'm hearing that I won't go into now, but it questions whether there are other indications of what might be described as influence peddling. In other words, using your position to get financial benefit from it. And many are asking, why did Hunter Biden get such a high-paying job and such important positions when he has basically no resume that would support that? And it's implying that it's because that he is the son of the vice president and former senator, Joe Biden. So I'm sure, as I say, we'll be hearing more about that coming up. And I'm sure in the debate on this coming Thursday, it'll come up as Donald Trump will want to find out Senator of former Vice President Biden has to say about it, if he will say anything at all. But it basically, he doesn't get one question on the recent town hall that they had in place of the second debate that was canceled. Biden didn't get one question on Hunter Biden. So there's something not kosher there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you'll agree. And we'll have to watch and see how that develops. All right, let me go on further with some of this information that I have on the financial results for the week. The Dow closed at 28,606.31. That's up from 2 weeks ago. The NASDAQ at 11,671.56. That is also up. And the S&P is up at closed at 3,483.81. The markets appear to just care about the stimulus, not the fact that we see the national debt over $27 trillion. No one even seems to talk about that. Yet $27 trillion, and it has gone up under both George W. Bush, under Barack Obama, and even under Donald Trump, who campaigned on more fiscal responsibility. But and I listened to Peter Schiff. He says they have all failed to especially the Republicans, who are supposed to be fiscally conservative. They don't seem to even want to talk about the national debt. I think it's because they don't want to implement the strict procedures that would cause it to go down, such as cutting government spending and raising taxes, possibly, because there's only those two ways, except for a booming economy, and it doesn't look like the economy, even though the stock market is booming. We're seeing that there's still a lot of businesses that are closing, although I did read that there's a lot of new businesses opening. So there's a mixed bag on some of this, ladies and gentlemen. And I think basically I'm an accountant. I would like to see that debt come down. And as far as the stimulus is concerned, what do you think? We all like to get checks in the mail, but not to the extent that it does us more harm than good. Sort of like the question on the bailout of the banks in the 08 financial crisis. Well, I was basically didn't like the bailout of the banks, but it may have been something that was necessary, but it certainly should have been one that had some strings attached. And the same now, if we have these stimulus, we should make sure that the stimulus is really serving us well. But both parties seem to be definitely in favor of spending the stimulus, and the debate is to basically how much each one wants to do it. Let me check the chat room again, see if anyone's in there. And I want to give you the call-in number. It's 914-803-4379. Gold finished the week at $1,899.70, just 30 cents short of the $1,900 level. Of course, it's been up as high as $2,000 an ounce. But this figure, $1,899.70, is up from 2 weeks ago when it was $1,898.80. So up just a fraction, 70 cents, I think. No, 90 cents. And and silver is at 24.17. That's up from 23.69. So they pretty much are basically the same from 2 weeks ago. Peter Schiff, and I think I agree with him that I think both of them are going to be going higher. Nobody has a crystal ball, but silver alone based on the gold silver ratio certainly looks undervalued. I think the ratio is something like 75 to 1, 75 ounces of silver to make 1 ounce of gold, when I think the normal figure is, at least in recent times, is like 40 to 1, and now 75. It's been as high as over 100 to 1, and it has come down as silver moved up quite a bit in the past 6 months or so. So I encourage you to look into that, and if you have money, cash in the bank, and you expect more inflation, then you can be sure that your cash will buy less. So you may have to decide whether it's doing its job. It's a sensible thing to keep your cash when cash is going down in value. I haven't noticed a lot of price inflation and doing shopping. I basically go to the supermarket and it seems like milk and bread and eggs and, you know, various basics seem to be pretty much the same. But we could see a change in that as we go forward, and also if we have more and more money printing, because inflation is basically defined as the expansion of the money supply, and I think the Federal Reserve is going to continue doing that as they have probably for the past 10 years now or so. Well, we're running out of time. I want to give you the date of the next show. It's be on November the 1st, Sunday night, 2 days before the election. So make sure you come and offer your thoughts as to what's good for our country. We will try to have more information for you, and that will be helpful to you. But I encourage you to listen to Peter Schiff at SchiffRadio.com and listen to Scott Lively on his tweets. I'm going to be playing one of them in the non-live portion. So that's about it. God bless you all. See you in 2 weeks. Night, everyone. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, coming to you with the non-live portion, 15 minutes of yours truly, talking about just about whatever he wants to talk about. So there's no call-ins now if you want to call in, or if you listen to the show in the archive or however you may have listened to it, and you have some questions or comments, please hold them until our next show on November the 1st, 2 weeks from tonight, on Blog Talk Radio, Money and Other Things Financial. So I forgot to give you the approval and disapproval figures that I get every 2 weeks from Real Clear Politics. It's an average of a number of polls, around 10 polls or so, and the figures are his approval rating is 44.8, and his disapproval is 53.8. The approval has gone down a bit from 55.3, and the disapproval has gone up from 52.7 to 53.8, or 0.9, almost 1%. So those things change all the time, and it all we're all suspect of the polls. I don't think we should put too much weight on them. If you want to check them out, you can. But really, as they say, the only poll that really counts is the one on Election Day when you vote. And that one is somewhat suspect this year, as it is, well, maybe every year, because of the fraudulent voting, and now this year with the mail-in voting, and the voting has already started even before the last debate. I would think you wouldn't want to vote until you heard the last debate, which is Thursday. But some people have made up their mind, and they wouldn't be changed no matter what happened in the last debate. So I think I may be pretty much in that category, because I think the Democrats will be very detrimental to the country. They seem to be have gone so far to the socialist, even Marxist agenda, that they this is not what our country was founded on. Now, with regard to the approval and disapproval, I want to play a little clip of Dr. Chaps, who had a guest on, Pastor Darrell Johnson, author of Living in the Last Days, and this is something, this is 10 minutes into the interview where he had some interesting comments, and just play a little of that. Here we go.
Report now, and we have a slide here that shows the new poll powered by Zogby says that President Trump's job approval rating, this is even after the Black Lives Matter movement, after some of the race riots, he's now at 52%. Disapproval at 47%, which is the highest on record of Zogby taking this poll during Trump's presidency. But here's the shocker. African Americans approve of President Trump up to 36%, that's among all voters, up to 40% among likely voters. And although that is below 50%, that is a record high for the African American community, who is now becoming in favor, at least a minority of them, are increasing in their approval of President Trump.
Absolutely. And, you know, no matter what the media tells the world about President Trump being a racist, it's absolutely a lie. It's a proven fact that before Trump even became president or even announced his candidacy, he did so much for African Americans, not just African Americans, but Latinos and every ethnic group. If you look at his organization, the Trump Organization, and they employ minorities from the top to the bottom. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. And we've seen it. I mean, African Americans have seen it. They've seen what he's done with prison reform. They've seen what he's done with jobs. And we can tell a racist from anywhere. And Donald Trump is absolutely not a racist. So.
All right. Well, that was Pastor Darryl Johnson speaking there. And he is a black pastor, and that's his views. He sounds like a very sensible person and a very credible person. So you can listen to the whole thing on Dr. Chaps's website, which is www.prayinjesusname.org. And he's got a lot of good info on there. You need to do your due diligence and don't just be influenced by the first thing you see. I was at a rally for Trump a week ago, and we were standing out for him on my neighborhood, and a young woman came by, and she was negative on what we were doing and brought up the fact about Trump only paying $750 in income taxes. And of course, I'm an accountant. I tried to explain to her that he's a businessman and has had carry forward losses that could cause that to happen. He's not the typical person getting a W-2, and when you're in business, it's a much more complicated situation. His tax return is probably hundreds of pages long, and as he said many times, it's under audit, and if he has violated the law, the IRS will bring that out, and he will have to pay any taxes owed or penalties. If he's done anything illegal, he would have to deal with the law as anyone else. The law is much too complicated. We need to simplify our tax structure, but that's going to be for another day. So right now I want to play a clip of my favorite commentator, and that would be Dr. Scott Lively, who just sent out one hot off the press here. And let me see if I can find that. Here we go. It runs for about 10 minutes or so. And this is him speaking from a hotel in Massachusetts, because he's here from his home in Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee, is here doing some of his ministry activities in Springfield, which he has a close connection to. And let's see what he has to say about it. The title of this is Scott Lively on Trump's October Surprise Party. Wow, that would be that one, I guess. Here we go.
Greetings, my friends. This is Dr. Scott Lively. I'm here in lockdown, Massachusetts, in my hotel room. I have a week of ministry that I'm doing here in my home state. I'll be baptizing a couple people in the Atlantic Ocean and meeting with my board, Redemption Gate Mission Society. And I spent some time yesterday at a pro-Trump standout, which is so very encouraging. I came back and I wrote an essay titled President Trump's October Surprise Party that I'd like to read for you, read this video version of. And so without further ado, well, let me just say this before I begin. This is the most important election of our lifetime. There's never been a more stark and sobering contrast between a genuine constitutionalist, President Donald Trump, and an outright crook, Joe Biden. if we do not re-elect President Trump, America, as we've known it, is over. The republic will be done, will be replaced with a communist state. The Democrats will move very swiftly to change the rules, to remove the filibuster in the Senate, to open the borders. The conservatives will never win another election in the United States of America from that point forward. If you are a pastor, this is Sunday, you have a moral duty to encourage, I was going to say give an election sermon, but at least to encourage your members to vote and to vote for Bible, which means supporting the United States Constitution. There's only one candidate that's doing that. And if you are a constitutionalist watching this video, you have a duty to do everything that you can to make sure that the vote is turned out on November 3rd. Anyway, that's all I'll say about that. I think President Trump's going to win in a landslide, and that's why my article is titled President Trump's October Surprise Party. And here it is. I confess to being a great fan of Bernard Cornwell's historical fiction, having just finished his Richard Sharp series covering the Napoleonic Wars. His battle scenes are so well written that you can almost feel the spray of blood and gore when a cannonball decimates a squad of advancing infantry next to the protagonist. Yet nothing in the fictional career of Richard Sharp quite compares the unprecedented real-world shock and awe cluster bombing of Joe Biden and the Democrat elites by the Trump campaign with the Hunter Biden laptop scandals. I say scandals plural because this isn't just one criminal enterprise being exposed to the public, but a whole Pandora's box of Biden family secrets that indict not just their own criminal actions, but implicate the entire nest of deep state snakes by association, while also putting all the hyper-partisan, ethically corrupt news and social media entities under a white-hot spotlight for all the world to see. My personal favorite microcosm of the still-expanding field of political carnage is the corner where the swamp rat Christopher Wray, the FBI director, has been trapped by the disclosure that he's had possession of Hunter's laptop for months, but withheld all of its Trump-absolving evidence from Congress and the public during the impeachment scam. I can't recall a clearer example of a bureaucrat being caught red-handed in the act of malfeasance. Of course, all the many anti-Trump players in big tech and big media tried to clamp a lid on the pot when it first started boiling over, thinking they could suppress and spin the news as they've done so effectively in the past. But even as they rushed to contain the damage, more and different scandals from the same pot exploded right in their faces, simultaneously exposing their bias and hypocrisy to the suddenly curious general public. There is no containing the scandals now. The Biden family demons are out of the box. The genie of Trump vindication is out of the bottle. And very soon, the rats will start fleeing the sinking ship. Never have so many metaphors mixed so smoothly together. I hesitate to write this article, or hesitated to write this article, because the story is unfolding so fast and furiously, pun intended, that by the time it gets published a few days from now, the specific items we're discussing today might seem like old news.
Yes, and we're running out of time, ladies and gentlemen, so I had to cut that short, but go to scottlively.net. And you can hear the whole thing, www.scottlively.net. Well, that's about it. God bless you all. Good night. See you in 2 weeks. And stay safe.